Seattle's Morning News, this is Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. In 2015, in the famous case of Obergefell versus Hodges, the Supreme Court struck down bans on same-sex marriage. That was the culmination of a series of cases that were slowly expanding the rights enjoyed by gay couples. But nothing yet, on the federal level anyway, has guaranteed gay people the right to hang on to their jobs if their employer decides to fire them because they're gay. Let's consult with former State Attorney General Rob McKenna. Our conversation brought to you by Arista Point Employee Benefit Consultants. So now we have three cases that go to this employment protection matter. Can you outline these for us, Rob?
Right. So this is a trio of cases that involve, in one instance, a gay man who was fired by his county employer when they discovered he was gay. And it all comes down to what the meaning of the word sex is in Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, which prohibits employment discrimination, quote, because of sex. So what does sex mean in the 1964 Civil Rights Act? And then you've got a case involving gender identity in a case called Harris. And can someone be fired from their job when they begin dressing as a member of the opposite sex and as part of a process to change their gender? And it comes down to a battle over whether, you know, the courts can go ahead and change the understanding of the word sex in the 1964 Civil Rights Act, or whether Congress should step in and add prohibitions that are, you know, explicitly prohibitions against discrimination in employment based on sexual orientation and sexual identity.
Usually in these laws, there's a glossary, right, where they define what terms mean. In the Civil Rights Act, was there a glossary definition of sex?
No, there wasn't. One commentator, actually a former law school professor of mine, as it happens, argues that the word sex was added as kind of an afterthought to the Title VII of the Civil Rights Act to prohibit bias against women, who obviously have suffered a lot of discrimination. But, you know, there's a lot of evidence that gay people still suffer employment discrimination. One study puts it at 42%, and that a overwhelming majority of people who are transgender experience discrimination, something around 90%. So, you know, those folks, advocates are arguing that sexual orientation is a classification that can't be defined without reference to the person's sex, right, i.e. gender. And you can argue that about gender identity as well. The Department of Justice and others are arguing that, you know, when they passed the Civil Rights Act 1964, members of Congress meant the word sex in terms of its, quote, ordinary meaning, which is whether someone is biologically male or female.
Let me ask you this. Is there anything in those three cases that sort of stands out?
Yeah, the Bostock case out of Georgia stands out a little bit because the plaintiff argues that he was doing fine at work. He was well-regarded, getting good reviews, until he joined a gay softball league. The Honey Badgers was the name of his team. And, you know, he was posting about it. He was open about it, which doesn't seem particularly surprising or newsworthy these days, nor should it be. However, in defending against this former employee's lawsuit, the county is saying, well, Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, again, 1964, 55 years ago, didn't protect people from discrimination based on sexual orientation. The county is essentially saying we had a right to fire him because he was gay. That's a pretty shocking argument these days. I mean, it's you know, frankly, offensive to a lot of people that you could just fire someone because they're gay.
So what's your guess here? Because I agree with you, that's a shocking reason to fire an employee, and yet that appears to be what the law allows. So is the Supreme Court, given its current makeup, likely to interpret this strictly and say, this is not because we hate gay people, but because we believe it's Congress that needs to fix this?
The five conservatives could conclude that it's not for the court to rewrite the statute, and they may write language in their opinion that says the statute ought to be updated. If we were in Congress, we would vote to update it. Mm-hmm. But it's not for us to decide as unelected justices to rewrite the statute. That's an approach they could take. These are five conservative justices who believe in the concept of stare decisis, which means that court precedents are binding unless they're clearly wrong, like they've got the statutory interpretation wrong or harmful. Here, I suppose they could rule that this decision from 1979 was harmful. and therefore should be overturned. But the problem with that is it's rooted in the plain meaning of the statute. And, you know, the argument that the meaning of the word sex in 1964 was whether someone was biologically male or female, not whether they were straight or gay.
Well, the meaning of arms in the Second Amendment referred to a front-loading musket. That doesn't help.
A well-regulated militia.
That's right. Former State Attorney General Rob McKenna, our conversation brought to you by Arista Point Employee Benefit Consultants. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Dave.